Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape CD of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's speaker, Jim Hinshaw, graduated from the University of Missouri at Rolla and started his career with the Train Company. After several sales positions, he moved to Phoenix, where as manager of Train's residential division, he enjoyed a 50% market penetration. Jim's background includes positions as president of one of the oldest and largest air conditioning companies in Arizona, residential startup specialist for the Carrier Corporation, and an officer in a carrier-owned service agency. As an associate for the ACT Group Incorporated since 1990, Jim has provided high-results sales training for clients from Calgary, Canada to Adelaide, Australia. Jim now has his own training company, Sales Improvement Professionals, dedicated to bringing his real-world experience to help enhance your sales and marketing efforts. Jim is also a certified trainer of Granting Associates' three-day Basic Business Bootcamp. This month's presentation will be both entertaining and educational. Jim is going to share several real-life situations that took place during past Olympics to make some very specific and helpful points. I think you're going to really enjoy this presentation.
I love the Olympics. I like to watch people try harder, reach farther, and even surprise themselves in what they can do. My goal in doing this tape is to give you courage, even when the odds are against you, to persevere, to keep on keeping on. You'll never know how far you can go until you've gone farther than you've ever been before. Here then are some valuable lessons from the Olympics, a couple from Australia in the summer of 2000, another one from the year of 2002, and several from Greece in 2004. First, the lessons from Australia. We had a modern David and Goliath story at the Games in Sydney. You remember David? If you don't know, the story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He was a shepherd boy, not any kind of a military man. He was just a shepherd boy who was delivering food to his brothers in the Israel army. They were being taunted by a huge man named Goliath. The Bible tells us Goliath was over 6 cubits tall, cubits about 18 inches. Here's a guy that's over 10 feet tall, one huge fellow. David asked why they were letting him taunt him. He said someone should do something. So he went out without any armor, with only a few stones and his slingshot as his weapon. He kills Goliath with one stone to the forehead. Here's your first lesson. It is sort of an Olympic lesson. The idea came to me while thinking about David and Goliath. You may have an employee who has ability that has not yet been discovered. They may work in the service department or on an install crew, yet they love to talk to people and show a genuine interest in the customer's homes where they're working. When I was in the contracting business, we had an installer who really enjoyed meeting people and talking about heating and air conditioning and the comfort we could bring to a home. We had even done his parents' home. He was a real believer. We worked 3 home shows a year at that company. That installer wanted to be involved in each and every one. He volunteered for every single day that he could. He would work as many hours as we would let him, and he would get 2 or 3 leads every shift by himself. His production rate was 2 or 3 times what anybody else's was while they were working at the show. He became a very important part of our marketing and lead generation team, as well as an outstanding part of our installation team. So you may have a delivery driver who wants to do more than just deliver, and more importantly, has the ability to be involved in additional parts of your business. The person who answers your phone may want to help out in the service or installation department. David's father had no idea he would be the one to slay Goliath. He had no formal military training. It turns out David was fearless and had great skill with a slingshot. So there may be hidden talent in your building. Be on the lookout for people that show more ability than their current job requires. They may be ready to tackle more. In this competition in the Olympics, in 2000, we see Rulon Gardner, a Wyoming rancher, in his first Olympics standing up against Alexander Karelin, a giant, a real Goliath, at 6'4", 286 pounds. This was not Alexander's first Olympics. He had won this event, which is a super heavyweight Greco-Roman wrestling event, the last 3 Olympics. In fact, he had not lost an international match in 13 years. Here's a guy who works out carrying flagpoles and trees through 3-foot snowdrifts over in Russia somewhere, a giant man and a huge competitor. He's a fierce fighter. He had perfected a vicious takedown maneuver called the Karelin Lift, where he tossed the opponent on their heads, sometimes critically injuring them in the process. The match went along all tied up, even in overtime, until the Russian giant got tired. He released his grasp just for an instant. Gardner broke his hold and won with a single point. Winning the match, he upset one of the longest-running dynasties in wrestling history and put his name in the record books as a long-shot winner of that Olympics. The lesson for us, you don't need to pin your opponent, just hang on a little longer than they do. How does that apply to us? There may be a giant company that dominates part of your market. They may be a very strong player. They may also forget to do the little things that mean so much. They might not do what needs to be done to keep an emotional connection with their customers. In short, they get complacent. Carolyn probably figured he was invincible. He began to believe his own press releases. He relaxed his grip just for an instant. It cost him the crown. So here's another message for us. Never forget what brought you to the market. If you are known as a company that cares for its customers, then you'd better show that in all kinds of ways. Let your employees know how important it is to do everything right. One small detail left undone can ruin the perfect job. My wife and I came home one evening after a rainstorm had hit. We had a bulge in the ceiling over the entryway. I called a friend of mine who's in the roofing business, and he got there the very next day. He sealed up the leak and gave me a bill that was half what I expected. I told my wife what a good job I'd done. He got there quickly, did the needed repair, and the bill was a lot less than I had guessed. She said, "He'll never work here again." I asked why. She said he ruined our driveway. And I said, "Did he break it? Can you not drive a car on it?" No, his truck had dripped something in the drive. He left a small spot, but it was a big problem in her eyes. So even if you get to the job quickly, do the work fast, and the bill is less than they thought, the customer may be unhappy because of a spot on the driveway. It is those little things that are so critical to our success. We must also remember to thank the customer for their business. Thank them the first time and every time they return. You may think they'll get tired of hearing from you. Trust me, they won't. Everybody likes to be appreciated. Just as important, be sure to thank the employees who got the job done day after day, in some cases in the freezing weather or blazing hot sun. Get to know the people who are responsible for taking care of your customers. Find out how their family is doing, when the daughter's getting married, all of the important details. The competition may be more skilled, have more experience. This was Rulon's first games, remember? They might have more employees, more trucks, more servicemen. More importantly, just because they have always won the battle, there's no reason to believe they'll win this one. Just be ready when they relax or lose their focus. In this same Olympics, I was watching the track and field events with anticipation. We had a man from Phoenix who had entered the contest. Nick Hysong was going to Sydney to represent the United States of America and Phoenix, Arizona, in the men's pole vault. Nick had not left town yet, and the Arizona Republic wrote an article about him. They said he'd do a good job, but he did not jump high enough to win a gold medal. Now, if I was Nick's mama, I would have slapped the reporter who wrote that. He had not even left town yet. Nick got down to Sydney and began to ask the other competitors some questions. He asked things like, "How high do you think we'll have to go to win a gold medal?" They said, "You can't ask that. This is an Olympics." Nick was persistent. "How high do you think we have to go to get that gold medal, to be on the winner's platform?" Finally, some of them answered him in pole vaulter language. They responded in meters. I'll convert it to feet. It's easier to understand. They said a 19-foot jump would be a good jump. What that meant in pole vaulter language was they had already done 19 feet. They felt like they could do that again. Now, you need to know, in track and field events like this, you get three tries to make your mark. The first try is always a warm-up. Like little Laura, the young lady from Texas who was working the high-platform diving competition in the same Olympics. Her first dive was a jackknife. The last one was a triple flip with a half-twist. She even painted her toenails before hitting the water. She won the gold medal. So our hero, Nick, set the bar at 19 feet, 4 1/4 inches for his very first attempt. A couple of the other competitors were looking at him and thinking, "This guy's a fool. He asked stupid questions and now he can't measure. He meant to set the bar at 18, 4 1/4. He's set the bar too high." Nick cleared the bar on his first jump. It never even moved. He came off that jump area with both hands held high. He knew he'd done something great. Now, those same guys who were making fun of him earlier said this to themselves, "You know, if he can do that, I can do that." Second place went to a gentleman who cleared 19 feet, 4 1/4 inches on the second attempt. A German competitor cleared 19 feet, 4 1/4 inches on the third attempt for third place. You see a pattern here? A three-way tie for height. The only difference was a number of attempts. Never happens in the Olympics. So here's my first question for you. This is a trick question. I know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there a first, second, or third place in sales? What do you think? No, you either get the order or you get practice. I don't want to practice in front of the customer. I want to get the order. Second question. This is not a trick question. Do you think the business is getting harder or easier? Many people think it's getting harder. One reason is the internet. If that pizza kept you up last night, you may go shopping on the internet instead of watching a movie made in the 70s. Even better, it's possible to prove any sort of idea you want on the internet, whether it's true or not. You can find evidence to support any position you want if you just look hard enough. So if the business is getting harder, I'm going to set the bar high. If I am first to visit with a customer, I want the other proposals to look weak. They have left something out that will be needed for my customer. If I am last, I want to do things the others do not do. If they left out one of the crucial steps for comfort, the customer will not receive the benefits they said you wanted. One of the questions I'm asked all the time is, would you rather be first or last talking to a customer? Here's my answer. I want to be involved with that customer. And if it's first, then there might not even be a second or third position where somebody's coming in behind me. They might make a decision to trust me for their comfort needs. If I'm last, though, I definitely want to do all the things necessary to bring comfort. So set the bar high. Ask the questions necessary to discover what the customer needs. Measure the entire house. Run an accurate load. Look in the attic and the crawl space. Never assume anything. I hope the competition says you don't have to do that. They are setting the bar too high. That is one sign you're doing the things necessary to do business with a demanding customer in a turbulent market. In the Summer Olympics 8 years ago, the U.S. women's softball team was locked in a battle for the gold medal with China. The score was tied. The game went to the last inning. One of our girls was at bat, hit a ball into the infield. A Chinese girl dropped it. We scored and won the medal. The fans went wild. The U.S. team was thrilled. They had fought hard and finally won the game. After the field cleared out, one of the outfielders stood in the middle of the ball diamond, hugging her mom. Both of them were bawling their eyes out. A reporter came up to him, congratulated him, remarked that it was an emotional win for all. The girl told the reporter, "You don't understand. My mom is a single mom. Dad left when I was just a little girl. We are on our own. We didn't have the money to get to the final trials or for the transportation to the Olympics. My mom sold our house so I could be in this team. When we go back home, we have to find a new place to live, but I do have a gold medal to show for it." Now that is a commitment. They burned their boats. There was no going back. That mother showed that she believed in that daughter, even to the extent she gave up her home to follow her dream. Do your employees know your commitment? Do they know the extent that you will go to get the job done? When they know that you will not rest till you have done everything in your power to help the customer, then they will do the same thing. That is the kind of dedication that's lacking today in our society, yet it's needed more than ever. Now let's go to Greece in 2004. I have a question for you. Do you believe in second chances? I mean, when you've really missed a mark, do you think life is going to let you back up the bat again? I watched the Olympics and saw some outstanding performances by athletes, men and women going farther than they'd ever gone before. I also saw some mistakes, some opportunities, and some good second chances that were awesome. Mohini Bhardwaj is a lot older than most of the other girls, or women, on the women's gymnastic team. She started her career in gymnastics at age 4. By age 15, she and her coaches realized she had the ability to be an Olympic contender. She was recruited, and in 1996, when she was 17, she was living on her own, training for the Olympic team. The problem is she had a great social life, in fact, a little too great. She stayed out late, missed practice. Finally, she missed the cut for the team. She ended up going to UCLA on a full scholarship for college gymnastics. She still didn't have her head in the game until her junior year. By the end of her senior year, she was regarded as one of UCLA's greatest gymnasts ever. So at age 22, she decided to try again for the Olympic team. Now, she's a lot older than most of the other competitors at that point. She had a hard time, many injuries, and in 2002, she dislocated her elbow, keeping her off the program for the rest of the year. It seemed like the end of her career. She never gave up, working in a pizza parlor, practicing 7 hours a day, coaching full-time to make ends meet. She was still having a very difficult time financially when Pamela Anderson of Baywatch heard of her plight. Pam had been in gymnastics early in her life, knows firsthand how hard it is and what dedication is needed. She also knew the financial commitment that was needed. So Pam wrote out a $20,000 check to fund the next year of training. Mohini worked hard, finished 12th in the U.S. Championships in Nashville in 2004, earning the very last spot on the Olympic team. So she ends up in Greece, the oldest woman on the team, working hard to do what is needed to be done. The women's gymnastic team did just that, getting 6 medals and showing the world that you do get a second chance. Did you get a chance to watch the swimming events? One of the top swimmers is Natalie Coughlin, who got a second chance to be involved in swimming for the USA. She was in line to be in Sydney in the 2000 Olympics when a shoulder injury ruined her chances to swim. Unable to use her arms while recovering after surgery, she would often log up to 5,000 meters. That's almost 3 miles with just her kick. Her dolphin-like kick coming off the walls is her signature. She flies on the turns. She was ready to show her abilities off to the country in the World Championships held last year. She caught a fever and placed 22nd in the 100-meter backstroke, where she holds the world's record. So she actually got a third chance in Greece. She proved herself well, getting a gold, a couple of silvers, and a bronze. Maybe more, I lost count after a few days. When we watched her race in a 100-meter event, she was amazing. At the turn, she stayed underwater for almost a length longer than the competitors, moving past them underwater before she broke the surface and took off. Heather O'Reilly is the only teenager in the women's soccer team. She missed a shot at goal when the opponent was out of position, a wide-open net. That's sometimes a problem with all of us. We move faster than we think. We don't see the real opportunity. Yet minutes later in overtime, she got the second chance to make a goal and did just that. That goal took the USA into the title match, where Abby Wambaugh used her head to score the winning goal in overtime again. I mean, she used her head. She knocked a soccer ball in with her skull. Abby's 24-year-old, one of the oldest in a select group that got a second chance. Finally, my favorite is Paul Hamm, who showed an incredible amount of courage and willpower and had a second chance in men's gymnastics. If you saw him on TV, it was unbelievable. He stumbled on the first of three routines in the floor exercises. He stumbled so bad he fell into the judges' table, crashed right into it. He was finished. It would not be possible to continue and save a routine. It would just be too hard to do. To stand up and start again, it would take more willpower than most of us will ever see. This is not a group event. It's not like soccer. It's just him all alone up on deck. He stood up and steeled himself, went through the next two routines, had the best scores anyone could ever have imagined. When he started, his other teammates in his corner did some quick calculating. They said if he ever got to 9.8 on both events, he'd have a chance to stay in the running. He got a 9.835 on both events. It was stunning. He got the gold individual all-around medal, a huge accomplishment. Now, I realize that the Korean gymnast has filed a protest, saying the scoring was inaccurate. He actually had a score higher than Paul's. I'm not here to debate if Paul should give up his medal or not. I am just saying Paul is one of the athletes who performed extremely well under pressure, the second chancers. This tape is dedicated to all those athletes, the one who showed up, but we never even saw them on the platform, and especially to the second chancers who inspire us to keep on going no matter how hard we fall. Now, is there a parallel for us in business? You bet, a huge parallel. You may think you have messed up big time, really bought the farm. You may have, but there's always a second chance. And next bet, as long as you can fog a mirror, you can give it another shot. So try again. Don't think for a moment that you'll repeat the previous mistake. If Hamm had allowed that thought to cross his mind, he would not have had a chance. Natalie Coughlin never stopped trying and practicing. Her therapy gave her a huge advantage when she got back to racing again. So the very thing that many said was her demise became her strength. Mohini never gave up, even when she had a lot of reasons to throw in the towel. Did she know Pamela Anderson was going to pair with $20,000? I don't think so. She was ready, however, when Pam stepped up. If she had not been working as hard as she was, do you think Pam would have taken an interest? The message is as follows. Keep on working hard. Keep on trying, even if you have made a mistake, or worse, ruin the one chance you had to really succeed. Or if it just didn't work out, no matter how hard you tried. Natalie thought she was out of the woods last year, only to be struck down with a fever. Feeling really bad, she came in at the bottom of the competition. Every competitor saw her, thought she was finished. She wasn't, just had a setback. So when the project doesn't go the way you'd planned, when sales don't take off, when the weather's no help at all, when you've missed the mark completely, don't give up. I repeat, don't give up. Take the lessons learned here. Be a second chancer. One more for the road. In the Winter Olympics of 2002, we saw another example of staying focused. In the men's 1,000-meter speed skating, we had five competitors. An overhead camera shows her moving almost as one, legs in perfect unison. Before the race, a reporter asked Stephen Bradbury of Australia if he was going to win. He, in fact, asked him, "What do you know about speed skating, being from Australia?" Stephen said, "Hey, I've trained hard to be here. I didn't train just to be here, though. I trained to win this event. So while I'm here, I also am not stupid. I realize there's some guys who have been in this event before in their lives. This is my first time. I don't know what's going to happen next. But I guarantee you this. If they fall down, I will skate across and get that gold medal." On the last lap, the last turn, the four leaders fell down. and Stephen Bradbury skated across that line to win the gold medal. The reporter met up with him afterwards. He said, you know, you were pretty lucky there. Stephen said, hey, I didn't trip them. They were ahead of me. He had been watching the leader closely and saw him move offline just a little bit. The others were too close to react. Stephen dropped back, stayed in last position, stayed on his skates, even more importantly. There's more to that story. Apollo Ono from the U.S. was in a pile up against the wall. He, in fact, had a skate embedded in his thigh, took 4 stitches to close that up later on. He realized only one person had crossed the line. He went to stand up, couldn't stand up, so he went across on his hands and knees for the silver medal. The reason he couldn't stand was another skater had a hold of his ankle. He pulled him across, and he got the bronze. The moral, if you fall down, get back up. The race isn't over till it's over. And if someone is pulling you toward the finish line, let them pull you. Many times a competitor would tell a customer to call our company for a bid, usually because our prices were higher than theirs. We actually knew our costs and priced the jobs accurately and fairly for the value received. I would take great pleasure in selling a complete comfort system to one of these leads, usually at 25 to 35% higher than my competitor who had recommended me. The final analysis is this. We all have a little voice in our head that talks to us all the time. The only problem is that it lies to us. It tells us we won't make the cut. We're too young, too old. We can't sell as well as the competition. They have more trucks, more people, more horsepower, more experience, money, any number of things. That little voice is similar to the newspaper. The headlines are all the same. They deal with tragedy, heartache, the negative things in life. I wish we could see more of the headline that tells the positive side of human experience. I just saw an article on car thieves, where they're taking old VIN numbers and putting them on stolen cars and trucks. It was in the first section of the paper. The article told of a young couple whose truck was seized by the police because it was stolen. 3 days later, they had an article buried on the third section, fifth page, about how a local car dealer donated a truck to that couple. It seems like the good news just doesn't print as well as the bad news. That little voice is the same. It must be trained to tell you good things. Don't listen to the little voice in your head when it tells you you are not going to be successful, that you can't do something that's never been done before, that you're too young or too old, you have no chance to win because of your inexperience or background or even an injury, or that you've made a giant mistake. That little voice is wrong. Instead, remember these Olympic stories and take courage and encouragement from them. These Olympic champions did not listen to that little voice. If they had, they would not be champions. Now stay focused on the objective. Go for the gold. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day Basic Business Boot Camp continues to take the industry by storm. For more information on ProfitMax and or our boot camp, simply call or write Grandy & Associates. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.